Without objection, we're going to get started on the Gilmore advisory opinion request. My understanding is that Mr. Gilmore is a professor, and he's teaching a class this morning, and so he requested that we do his matter first so that he won't be late to class.
Mr. Gilmore, are you with us?
Morning.
Welcome, Mr. Gilmore. Thank you for joining us this morning. We have a procedural motion we'll do really quickly, and then we'll turn to the substance of your request. Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that we waive the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents so that we may consider agenda documents number 18-18A and 18-18B.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. And we are now ready to talk about draft advisory opinion 2018-03. And we have a presentation from the Office of General Counsel, Mr. Wenzinger. Did I say your name right?
Yep.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Chair Hunter. Good morning, Commissioners. Agenda documents 1818A and 1818B are draft responses to an advisory opinion request submitted by Michael Gilmore on behalf of his campaign committee. The requester asks whether the committee may use campaign funds to pay certain legal expenses of a lawsuit concerning the scheduling of a special election and whether the value of any pro bono legal services provided in support of the litigation would constitute an in-kind contribution to the committee. Both drafts conclude that the committee may not use campaign funds to pay for the legal expenses because those expenses would exist irrespective of the campaign. Therefore, the use of campaign funds for that purpose would constitute an impermissible conversion of campaign funds to personal use. Both drafts also conclude that the value of any pro bono legal services provided in support of the litigation would not constitute in-kind contributions to the committee. The drafts differ slightly in the rationale for why the voluntary services would not constitute contributions. While both drafts conclude that the services would not be for the purpose of influencing the federal election, Draft A further concludes that even if the services were for such a purpose, they would nevertheless fall within an exemption to the definition of contribution. We received no comments on the request or on the draft, and I am happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. So as noted, we have two drafts in this advisory opinion request. Draft A was put out by my office, and Draft B was put out by the Vice Chair's office. We prefer Draft A, but took a look at Draft B, and we're okay with that and are willing to approve it today at the appropriate time. But does anybody have any questions of the requester or of the Office of General Counsel? Or comments? Okay, Mr. Gilmore, I don't know if you had a chance to look at the drafts, if you have any questions or comments.
Did not get a chance to look at the draft and did get a chance to, glance at it and, review the conclusion of the draft. My concern going, through the various advisory opinions that I looked at, as well as the laws pertaining to the use of legal expenses, I think it was reflected in the drafts of the advisory opinion. Also, even did not get to look at those in depth, was very concerned that, even aside from this opinion, for future opinions, the separation between the legal deprivation that the lawsuit is purporting, separating that from the expense of litigation. And so I was concerned with the commission not separating the fact that although the incident would have existed irrespective of the campaign, the expense of the incident would not have existed. I don't think that was adequately addressed or recognized. And I think those are two things that should be separate. And I don't think that opinion should be based on the existence of the legal controversy. The opinion to be based on the expense that is associated with the legal controversy, and that expense would not have existed but for my campaign.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Gilmore. Unfortunately, some of what you said was a little bit hard to hear, which isn't your fault. We're getting a new speaker system, and it should be in place, I believe, by the next open meeting. But thank you for your comment. Does anybody have any comment in response? Commissioner Peterson?
Just for the notes, just to note, it's a little hard to hear you guys on this end also. You guys, everybody just sounds so far away.
Okay. Sorry about that. Commissioner Peterson?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. I understand the concerns of the requester. When looking at this particular question, what it really boiled down to for me was whose expenses are at issue. Are they the expenses of the campaign committees, or are they the expenses of the citizen plaintiffs who claim to be suffering a constitutional injury as a result of the scheduling of the special election? And as is noted in the draft, since the candidate and the committee are not parties to the litigation, these are the expenses of a these individuals, and for that reason, those did appear, and I think that as reflected in the draft, that those would have arisen irrespective of a candidacy. I understand the argument that this had you not been a candidate, then this lawsuit wouldn't have been brought. This may be a bad analogy, or it's not a precise analogy, but I was thinking of an example of what if there was a candidate in a district where there's a large employer and decided in order to generate recognition of this individual and raise his or her profile, they brought an employment discrimination class action against that employer that would not have, one could make the argument, but for my candidacy, I would have never brought this lawsuit up. But in that particular case, that's not being done on behalf of the candidacy. It's not being done on behalf of the committee, and it's the expenses of the if a campaign committee were attempting to pay for the legal expenses, those really are the expenses that should otherwise be borne by the plaintiffs. And so, if the facts were different here, and we don't have these facts before us right now, but if this were the if the committee itself were bringing a suit and claiming a constitutional injury as a result of the timing of this special election, and the candidate were going to represent the committee in the legal proceedings, then that may raise a different question. That's not the question before us. I don't want to attempt to answer that because we haven't had the benefit of our Office of General Counsel looking at that question and debating that. But I think that might present a different issue. But since the committee isn't involved, isn't a party in this particular matter, that's the reason why I'm comfortable with the conclusion that is reflected in Draft B. And I'll be happy to support that when a motion is made.
Thank you, Commissioner Peterson. Any other comments?
If it's okay, may I respond to Commissioner Peterson?
Sure.
I completely, really understand what you're saying. I appreciate it totally. But for the facts that, in facts, I did discuss substantially with your counsel that initially we were going to file the lawsuit under the name of the committee and me as a candidate. And it was but for a better basis. Initially, that's what the lawsuit was to be. However, strategically, we had a better legal standing by filing it not in the name of the candidate, but in the name of the citizens with the candidate at the council of record. So that was something that me and counsel have talked about, your counsel have talked about extensively in terms of the conversations that were had between myself and my attorney in coming to the conclusion of who served as parties for this lawsuit. It slightly changes the legal question of the lawsuit, but not immediately. And by taking out the committee as a plaintiff, you do lose a one legal perspective, but all of the other legal perspectives would have still been in there, as the citizens would have also been appointed. So I just caution that be acknowledged in the future, because that is something that it would have been the reality here, but for a legal advantage not to.
Ms. Klopek?
Sure. Technical issues. I just want to clarify. I think Mr. Gilmore's statements about his choices of whether to be a plaintiff or not are also reflected in his request. I just like to clarify for the record, although he certainly conveyed that information to us, which obviously is in the request, we provided no guidance on how to pursue his lawsuit. We asked questions to try to understand the basis of their position, or the Mr. Gilmore's position, that these expenses would not exist irrespective of his candidacy. And so and his response to that is reflected in his request. But we certainly provided no suggestions about how they might go about structuring their lawsuit. And ultimately, as he's indicated, it was the choice of the requester to decide to have other individuals be plaintiffs rather than himself. I think he even indicated in the request that he, part of why he chose, or perhaps the reason he chose not to be a plaintiff, was inability to find other counsel to represent him. So I don't know that that really changes how the commission would analyze the question.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments? Is there a motion? Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move approval of Advisory Opinion 2018-03, Committee to Elect Michael Gilmore, as set forth in Agenda Document 18-18B.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Gilmore, for your request and for joining us, and good luck with your class this morning.
Thank you so much for your accommodations. I really appreciate it.
Anytime. Thanks.